Let's turn to Psalm 23. My word for the church last Sunday was that we look to Jesus from Hebrews 12. And this morning we're going to look to Jesus as a shepherd. The good place and the familiar text is Psalm 23. So if you're there, let's read together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we turn to you as a shepherd, Lord, and we look to you as a shepherd. Lord, we need your guidance. We need your provision. We need your strength, Lord. We need your comfort. We need your teaching. Lord, we look to you for our needs. We look to you, Lord, for protection. Father, we look to you for encouragement. Lord, I pray that we may experience all that as we go through your word this morning. Jesus, may you speak to each one of us individually and speak to us corporately as a church. That we may come to a newer appreciation of you as a shepherd. So Lord, we look to you. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Psalm 23 is a very familiar psalm. I'm sure some of you have memorized it. I know some people who recite the last verse at the end of every prayer. It's by far the most memorized, most popular. And you know that this psalm is such a comfort when you're down. It gives strength when we are weak and hope. We're in a place of hopelessness. It gives us courage when we are fearful, as we'll find. And as a church, it's a good place for us to visit and look to Jesus as a shepherd, because he is. And I think as David writes this, you know, he must have been in his advanced age and probably was thinking of the shepherd boy he was. Remember, when he was anointed as king, he was out looking after his father's sheep. He must have been remembering how he provided for his sheep and how he led the sheep and fed the sheep. And later on, he'd become king. And we also know David as a shepherd king. He must have been looking back how he provided for his people and led his people and protected his people. Remember, he was a warrior, he was a fighter. However, he also must have been looking back at his years of walking with God and thinking of him as a shepherd and how that God led him, God provided for him, God protected him. He had so many enemies. And God made promises to David concerning his future. And is confident enough to say that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Then verse 1. It is in the present tense. We can forget that the Lord is a shepherd when we look back and think, oh, he was a shepherd back then. And maybe have hope for the future. He will be my shepherd the days ahead. But David says it in the present tense. He is right now my shepherd. He is our shepherd. And I like how the writer personalizes the shepherd. He is personal. We can confidently say individually that God is our shepherd. God is my shepherd individually. Now, if he's a shepherd, that makes us what? Sheep. Now, that is hard to explain to kids, right? Because we tell them that we are special among all God's creation. We are not like animals. Actually, a friend of mine was trying to teach that to their child, 5-year-old daughter. And the little girl protested, "How come God thinks of us as sheep? You're telling me that we are special, we are not like animals, like dogs and birds and all, but how come God thinks of us as sheep?" God was like a shepherd to David, and he was shepherd to David, and he is our shepherd, both corporately as a church and individually as a person. Each one of us can confidently say that God is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And as a shepherd looking after his sheep, he led the sheep to feed. He oversaw the health and the safety of his flock. He did everything he could to make sure his sheep fed healthy, protected. And that was what he did as a shepherd. And likewise, God does the same to us. Look what David says. "I shall not want. God leads me. He guides me. He's overseeing my life, every detail of it." And he says, "I shall not want." Now, when you read that, if you're like me, I'm thinking, so what do I want? If the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want, so what do I want? You come up with a list, present it to the shepherd. "I shall not want" means that God provides for everything we need. It does not mean, like some people say, that God will give me everything I ask for. Because the shepherd alone knows what is best for us, and he gives us what he knows to be best for us. The Bible says that he knows our needs before even we mention them. So he'll not give us everything we ask for. If those things are dangerous for us, he'll give us what we need, what we want, what is good for us in his foreknowledge and all knowledge, all knowing nature as God. So it implies that we should be content with what he provides. When God gives us what we want, we should be satisfied in that. We should decide not to desire more than God provides. Now, you know, as sheep, we can wander off to the other side of the fence where the grass seems greener and we get in trouble. We should stay satisfied and fulfilled and content with God and his provision. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 to 12, Paul gives us his testimony of being content. And he says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 to 12, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Paul says that he knew what it meant to have your pockets empty and to still be satisfied, and have them full and still be satisfied. That's content. That whatever God gives us individually and as a church, we will be happy with that and use them according to the needs of the church and our individual needs as his sheep. He would write to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. Those who are content with God's provision are in a safe place." They are happy. They're full of joy. And that is godliness. And as we look up to Jesus as a shepherd, and as he provides our needs as a shepherd, let's be content. He says in verse 2, "He makes me lie down in the green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." The shepherd knows that the sheep needs food and water. And I'm reminded myself of my earlier childhood before the bush war. My grandfather had some cattle, some cows, some goats, some sheep. And would just, as little boys, wander off to graze the cattle with you know, the real shepherd. And I remember how he led the sheep and the goats and the cows to the grass, wherever it was, the green grass. And they ate. And after feeding on the grass, he would then walk down to the valley where the stream was to have a drink. And after the drink, it's almost noon, one, up to three, it is so hot. So what the sheep and the goats and the cows do, they just lie down to rest. It's a picture of rest and peace. That as God provides for what we want, as He provides for what He thinks He should give us, that we should be full of rest and peace. And lie down and just enjoy the food that He gives us, the drink that He pours for us. And that is symbolic of God's word, green pastures for us, His people. And the Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, still waters. May we continue as a church to feed on God's word and to allow Him to fill us, to refresh us, to give us rest with the presence of His Spirit. And as we lie down in peace. We lie down satisfied, sure, and assured of God's provision. In verse 3, He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Restoring our soul would definitely mean that we often get tired. We get discouraged, exhausted. Every evening, if you're like me, you're tired. You need rest. And you go home, have a meal, and sleep. And in the morning, your strength is renewed. And walking on this planet, really, you know that it's wearing. And God, as a shepherd, revives us, refreshes us. When our soul gets discouraged, you remember where? I don't know exactly the verse, but David would ask himself, "My soul, why are you so downcast? Hope in the Lord." He will refresh us when we get tired, when we get worn out, when we get discouraged. God, as our shepherd, will give us rest, fill us with His Spirit, and we'll be refreshed and revived to face the next day. The second part of verse 3, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The shepherd knows the way for us to walk in. He knows all the main highways and the small paths that we should follow as His children. And He guides us through His word. And He teaches us what to say and what not to say. Where to go, where not to go. What to do and what not to do. What to think and what not to think. And in His word, we can find a path of righteousness to walk in. And that path safely leads us home. Now we can all testify that when you feed on God's word, when you allow Him to fill you with His Spirit, God is leading you in a path that is leading you home. It is the path of righteousness. Now as sheep, you know that we are stubborn, right? We're thinking, oh, this way is too long. Let me take a shortcut. And we get in trouble taking shortcuts. Even when we wander off finding our own path, God still brings us with His truth to the path of righteousness, and He will do that every day of our life. And righteousness there is a picture of sanctification that the New Testament teaches, that God progressively weeds out sin in our lives and makes us like Himself every day. Paul writes to the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. He says to them, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification, by the Spirit and belief in truth." That as we rest under the shepherd's care, feeding on His green pastures, the word, allowing Him to give us the still waters, refreshing of the Spirit, that we are continually being made like Himself. The process is called sanctification. And the shepherd removes the ticks when we stray, brings us back on the same path, path of righteousness. And very soon we all are in a healthy state as God leads us and as we follow him in his way of righteousness. And we should be praying the prayer that David prayed in Psalm 5, verse 8. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. Lead me, Lord, to follow you in your right path. Not my own opinions, not my own shortcuts. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. And that should be our response as his sheep. Lord, lead us in your righteousness. And how the church needs to know the call to righteousness. We are sinful, yes. We are bad people. We make poor decisions. We stray from the Lord. But we should never run away from what the Bible teaches and what David writes in Psalm chapter 5, verse 8. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. And as a church, we should be praying that God will lead us in his righteousness, in his righteous paths. And then in verse 4, it's a picture of being stuck in a valley. The sheep either wandered off, trying to find better pastures, or the circumstance of living in a fallen world leads this sheep to be stuck in the valley of the shadow of death. Now we know that we can find ourselves stuck in a valley, deep down in a pit, discouraged, stuck, hopeless, probably because of consequences of our sin, the sinful decisions that we make. But it also could be because of somebody else's sin and the ugly things that this world throws at us. We could suffer many things and find ourselves like in the valley of shadow of death because of sin in others' life, because somebody cheated us, because somebody lied to us, because somebody took advantage of us. This happens a lot in our city and all over the world. People get fleeced of their money with promises to take them to Dubai or to America or to Britain. They get conned. You probably have been conned. Maybe you've lost your valuables. Somebody's stealing from you. And we can get really down, stuck, almost thinking that we're going to die, the valley of shadow of death. Could be sickness, disease, chronic or curable. And David says that even if I'm stuck down, even if I'm discouraged and feels like I'm going to die, I will fear no evil. The psalmist refuses to respond in fear. He responds by faith. And if we find ourselves as a church, or even individually stuck, almost thinking we are going to die, let's not respond by fear. Because fear will lead us into more trouble. From the valley, we'll even go down the trench. Let's respond by faith. As the psalmist writes, for you are with me. God is with us. He promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He promised his followers in chapter 28 of Matthew, I am with you always. I'll never leave you. We never walk alone. Even in the valleys of this world, God is right there. He'll walk us through up to the hilltop. Paul himself had an experience of almost near death. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he talks about his experience preaching the gospel. Verse 3 and the first part of verse 4, blessed be the God of our Father, God and the Father rather of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all tribulation. I'll fear no evil. You are with me. Your staff and rod comfort me. And Paul would write how they went through so much trouble in Asia that they almost gave up on life. They knew they were going to die. But God, he writes, I think in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, but God gave them strength and comfort, and God delivered them from all the trouble that they were going through. I want us to rest assured and to hope and to have faith that God will guide us through the most difficult times. I told the first service of a lady I was trying to encourage with God's word last week. And she came by and she has three children. One is disabled completely, in need of so much care. They have this boy, her middleborn, has to be taken to the toilet and be fed. And so nobody can do that. She doesn't have money to hire somebody who can do that. So she stays at home and looks after her children. So she had to leave her work to stay at home. So she doesn't have a salary. She tried to set up a business that didn't work out. Her landlord was on her neck. She hadn't paid him for 6 months. And I was encouraging her through scriptures. He said, I know you pastors, you like defending God. I'm like, I'm not defending God. He says he is with you. He is with us. He will always be with us to comfort us through the most difficult of times. And maybe you're thinking you right now of yourself being down the valley. Maybe you are in a very difficult place. You almost think you're going to die. You think the trouble, the valley is going to swallow you up. Do not fear. God is with you. God is with us. He has a rod and a staff to comfort us. The one tool that a shepherd has with himself all the time is a stick with a hook at the end. The sheep gets in trouble, can pull it back. The sheep needs comfort, give it a little tap on the back. The sheep has some flea on it or some ticks, can use it to rub the sheep and give it some comfort. Jesus is with us to comfort us through every difficult time. Through our tears, through the difficult times that we go through, individually, even as a church, Christ is right here with us. We should follow him. Never should we wander off on our own. And David goes on to mention that he has some enemies and God prepares a meal for him as the enemies watch. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Now, if you're a Christian, you know that you have an enemy. There's at least one person who doesn't like you and wants to kill and destroy and bring you down. His name is the devil, Satan himself. Now, the shepherd knows that we have an enemy, doesn't he? And David says, the Lord is such a good shepherd. He invites him for a meal, and his enemy is there watching. Can you imagine the picture of sitting right there with the Lord, the dining table, and your enemy is standing by and cannot do anything? Have you ever been given a favor while your enemy is there watching? Maybe at work, at home. Our shepherd is there to protect us. And even when we know we are surrounded by enemies, people who don't like us and our arch enemy, the devil himself, God is powerful and good to invite us for a meal. It's like a party. The Lord continues to shower us with his goodness in this ugly world. This world itself is actually our enemy. The world hates us. But God is for us. He invites us for a party. And the picture of anointing my head with oil and my cup runs over was a symbol of hospitality. When in David's day, somebody invited you for a meal, of course you had to travel on a horse or a camel, or you walked. And by the time you get to the venue, you're dusty. So what the guest would do, rather the host would do, is make sure your feet are washed, your hands are washed, your face is washed, and you're smeared with some perfume. You smell good. And then you're served with a cup. They give you a cup that is served with a drink. That is a picture of joy. My cup runs over. That God invites us to himself. We have a party with him. And during the experience, during the time with him, it's all joy. Now, you know, joy is more than just happiness. It's an inner smile, even when you know somebody hates you. Somebody's after your life. Remember the story of Esther, how her and her people were almost killed by the enemies. But God turns events around. He saves his people and the enemies are killed. David himself, as was writing this, he must have been thinking of his own enemies. At one time, his son was his own enemy. Remember, Saul wanted to kill him many times. He must have been remembering how he fled and lived in the wilderness for over 10 years as a fugitive, trying to be safe. And even in the wilderness, God would provide for his needs until he was king. And tell you what, his enemies did not die if they saw him being anointed as king and they saw him ascend to the throne. And he was one man who went through a joyful experience with the Lord. The Lord invited him for a meal. He enjoyed it. The Lord kept him and preserved his life from his enemies. The Lord anointed his head with oil. The Lord gave him joy. And God will fill us with joy. Let's just present that cup, our lives, for God to pour in, for our cup to run over with joy. Walking with the Lord should be a joyful experience. There are some who think walking with Jesus is a sad, miserable, boring experience. It's not. It's a joyful experience to be safe and secure in God's hands and to enjoy his goodness in this earth. Now from verses 1 to 5, he talks about our present blessings. Being led to eat, for a stream to drink, to be refreshed and restored and encouraged, to be trained in righteousness. He talks about the fact that even if we end up stuck in a valley, thinking we're going to die, God is right there. He thought about his enemies and God inviting him for a party in their presence, showering him with good food and joy. And in verse 6, he looks ahead. And we have a blessed future as well. Not only are we going to experience all these nice things from God right now, we have so much to enjoy ahead of us as a church and us as Christians, his people. And he says, surely, he is very sure, he is confident that God's goodness and mercy shall follow him all the days of his life. Now, of course, David must have been, like I said, in his advanced years, and he knew he was going to die soon, someday at least. Now, we hardly think about death until we are over 60, or at least when you are really sick. I remember going through a very minor surgery, I think 6 years ago, and I thought, am I coming out of this place? You look around the theater and you're thinking, what's that for? And all these tools, are these doctors going to kill me or what? Are they going to forget some of that equipment in myself and I wrote? But even in that, surely goodness and mercy follows us. Goodness, God's wealth, and favor. Even if the sheep is wandering off, get the picture of a sheep under the care of a shepherd. Even when the sheep is wandering off, God remains good. The shepherd is still good. He still pursues us with his goodness and mercy. He still forgives us. We are sinful. We know that. We offend God every day, all the time. But as his children, he keeps following us and pursuing us with his goodness. And I know this for sure, that God is yet to show us more of his goodness as a church. He has been good, and we can all stand and testify that God is good, each one of you. There is so much more ahead. God is going to show us his goodness. And he continues to forgive us, cleanse us. David looks still farther ahead at the end of the road. Not only all the days of his life here, he looks ahead to the time when he will move on to his heavenly abode. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, thinking of death is very scary. How many of us would love to think about death? No one. But we should. David thought about death and he knew when he dies, he will be more than alive and he will be in a better place. He will live with God forever and ever. A historic preacher, Charles Spurgeon, wrote this about this last verse, especially about thinking about heaven. He says, "While I am here, I'll be a child at home with my God. The whole world shall be his house to me. And when I ascend into the upper chamber, I shall not change my company, nor even change the house. I shall only go to dwell in the upper room of the house of the Lord forever." After enjoying his goodness and mercy here on earth, we will move on upstairs to live with God himself forever and ever. Isn't that good? I don't know if you remember the story of a child. Maybe you've heard the story of a child who was told to memorize and present this psalm for a crowd. And the little boy did his best to memorize the psalm verse by verse, from verse 1 to verse 6. On the day of the presentation, however, everything did not go well. The boy stood up confidently and started Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." And there was a pause. He scratched his head, tried to remember, but he had forgotten the rest of the verses. And he went back to the beginning. He said, "Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I need to know. The Lord is our shepherd, and that's all we need to know. If we forget everything else, let's remember one thing. The Lord is our shepherd. He will guide us. He will feed us with his word. He will nourish us with his spirit, still waters of his spirit. He will encourage us when you're discouraged. He will lead us in his paths of righteousness on our way home. And when we find ourselves stuck in a valley, discouraged and downcast, even there he is with us. He will comfort us when we go through pain. It's a party with him almost every day as we feast in the presence of our enemies. He fills our cup. He gives us joy. He showers us with his goodness, his forgiveness. And like David, shouldn't we be looking forward to live with God forever and ever? Let's follow the shepherd. Let's follow Jesus, church. There is more ahead. There are greener pastures ahead. Calmer waters, refreshing waters ahead. He's marked for us a way, and we know where to go. We know where we're going. We're following him. He's ahead of us. He's leading us. Let's fear no evil. Let's have faith. Let's trust in him through the most difficult of times. Let's follow him to his comfort when we go through painful experiences. Let's go to feast with him as he presents us with food in the presence of our enemies, as we dine with him. As he cleans our feet, washes our feet and our hands and anoints our head with oil, gives us joy. Let's enjoy and look forward to enjoy his goodness, his forgiveness. And we can as well look forward to being home with him someday. So let's rise up and read Psalm 23 once again as we wind up. Let's stand. And I want us to read it like we really believe these words. Let's read together. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Now there are some of you here who are a stranger to this shepherd. And I'd like to encourage you to make Jesus your shepherd today. Please don't live without knowing Jesus as a shepherd. And may he lead us all the way. Amen? If you feel like you're stuck in a valley, we'll pray with you. Elvis is around, I'm around, Paul is around, and even the person next to you can pray with you. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you so much for your forgiveness. Lord, thank you so much for feeding us with your word, making us healthy spiritually and physically as well. Thank you so much for the filling of your spirit, Lord, that you fill us every day. Thank you for your new mercies that are new every morning. Lord, thank you so much for training us in righteousness, Lord, teaching us every day, teaching us your ways as we follow you. Thank you for your comfort when we go through difficult times, and thank you so much for your presence in our lives. Lord, you are always with us. Lord, thank you so much for protecting us from our enemies, Lord. Thank you so much for inviting us to dine with you every day. Lord, we thank you so much for the good things ahead of us. Lord, we're looking forward to enjoy your goodness all the days of our lives. And we also look forward to be with you when you call us home. Lord, I pray that we may daily look to you as a shepherd, that we may look to you for guidance, for provision, for protection, and for hope. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.